Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate 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 Vasudevaya.
Yes, so just bear with me. Yes, so Radhastami, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, is coming up on Friday. It's a very wonderful occasion because Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and she is the presiding deity of the process of devotional service. So her position in our tradition and her function in relation to us is really, really important. So we will read. Let's see. We're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, The Appearance of Shukadev Goswami. And we'll read verses 15 and 16. Tam mopayatam pratiyantu vipra. Ganga chadevi drita chitta mishe dvijo pasrishta kurkas takshako va dashatvalam gayata vishnugata. This is now Maharaj Parikshit speaking. As you know, most of you would be aware, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, great king in Vedic India, he has been cursed by the son of a Brahmin to die within 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. So he was not aware of that curse, actually, until he was told about it, because he was not present when the curse was uttered. And when he was informed by the father, actually, of the young Brahmin boy who had actually uttered the curse, then Maharaj Parikshit could have asked him that, can you please remove the curse, nullify the curse so it's no longer there? But he didn't do that because he understood that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Krishna is behind this. It's his arrangement. And when the Lord's arrangement is there, we have to learn to accept these things and not try and just develop some other sort of program of activity. So he just accepted it very humbly. And then he decided, all right, seeing I'm going to die in 7 days, I'd better prepare myself. So he went to the banks of the Ganges, and the news spread the news spread throughout the universe that this is actually going to happen, this very, very extraordinary personality, Maharaj Parikshit, is going to die in 7 days. And he's really focusing now to prepare himself for that. So many great personalities from all over the universe came to be present. Yes. So, which brings us to these two verses that we're going to read. That there he is now on the banks of the Ganges, all these great devotees and sages and saintly persons have arrived on the scene, and he is addressing them, explaining his feelings and his aspirations under those circumstances. And these two verses that we're going to read very nicely express, really sort of encapsulate the consciousness of Maharaj Parikshit. Very amazing, pure Krishna consciousness, very elevated spiritual state of mind. So 1:19, 15, and 16. Tam mopayatam pratyantu vipra ganga chadevi jita chittamishe dvijo pasrishta kuakastakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnugata. Translation. O Brahmins, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I've already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahman has created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanate rati prasangash chatadashrayeshu mahatsuyam yam upayami srishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya. Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmins, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So in the first verse we see his resolve, his determination, that let that snake bird come and bite me, even right now. Doesn't really matter. I may die today, or after 1 week, or after 1 year, or 20, 30 years, whatever it may be. So I will die at some time. And when? Well, that's in the hands of the Lord, and what can I do? But, so therefore I'm not really worried about that. It's not really an issue to me. But what is an issue to me, what is really very important, is that when it happens, or for that matter, at any time, 24 hours a day, just any day of the week or the year, that I be surrounded by people who are chanting the glories of the Lord, so I can hear that spiritual sound vibration. This is the only thing that really matters. So please continue. And let whatever else happen, happen. It is basically irrelevant. That was the first verse, and then this verse. He's saying, I don't know what my future's going to be. I mean, the snake bird's going to bite me. I'm going to die, and after that, I don't know what my future is really going to be. I would really like to go back to Godhead, if possible. But if I take birth again, then I would like three things. Complete attachment to Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, friendly relations with all living beings. That's what I want. Yes, so Radhastami is coming up, and at least in regard to the first of those two verses and Maharaj Parikshit's desire to always be in the company of people who are chanting the glories of the Lord and celebrating relationship, connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, yes, Radhastami is an ideal occasion. In Durban, normally, when it's Radhastami, we have a program practically the whole day of Katha, Krishna Katha, Radha Katha, and Kirtan, a lot of Katha, maybe 4, 5, 6 hours, just describing Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, and it's really wonderful. Have any of you been there for that? Either you must come, or you must do the same thing here. Transform PE. Yes. And we have been staying at the house of Gaurasundar Prabhu and Mother Vrinda Devi and Radha and Draupadi in absentia prema. And they asked for a name for their house. And in this regard, I think, because there's a view of the ocean from there, plus they have their own kund, as you may have seen. So I thought it could become New Radha Kund.
Haribol.
New Radha Kund. Dham ki.
Jai.
So anyway, yes, the Maharaj Parikshit, he understands very clearly that what we need, because we can die at any time. We can die at any time, and it's totally unpredictable, actually. So we must be ready, and how to be ready? Well, Maharaj Parikshit said, keep on chanting the glories of the Lord. So whatever happens to me, I may be okay, I may be fine and healthy, or I may be in great difficulty, physical difficulty, in the process of dying, but whatever. Let the spiritual sound vibration be in the air, because it's like being sort of in the rain. You can feel it saturating you. So the spiritual sound vibration saturates your inner being. And it's like taking a shower, taking a bath. If it's really going on very nicely. So Radhastami is a wonderful occasion. For that, please make the most of it. And it reminds me, one time on the Gopastami day. Gopastami? It is, what is it? It's the second, I think, Astami in Kartik, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it's either the first or second, but it's one of the Ashtamis. 8 days of the moon, either waxing, waning or waxing, in the month of Kartik. So, on one Gopastami, Krishna was lamenting in separation from Srimati Radharani. Krishna is God. You might wonder, how is God lamenting? It doesn't really sound, very godly, perhaps. But Krishna is a person. And just like as in the Christian tradition, not the Jewish tradition, actually, for you Jewish people. But in the Christian tradition, they have this idea, Jesus is the Son of God, which is okay. It's all right, fine. But every son has a father. Generally, most sons have brothers and sisters too. And many sons, most sons, all sons, perhaps in due course, or the great majority, they end up with a wife and their own children. In other words, relationships, there are all different sorts of relationships, which everyone has. And if someone is just happens to be the son of somebody, it doesn't end there for that person who is the son. So in Krishna consciousness, there's all these such beautiful, amazing descriptions of all different relationships that people have with Krishna. Actually, I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada's a couple of days ago when we were in Johannesburg, and Prabhupada was saying that to say that someone has a relationship with God as the Son of God is okay. But you take someone like Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they are, so to speak, the parents of God. And Prabhupada was saying that considering the fact that we are all by constitution, we're all the eternal servants of the Lord, we are to serve him and please him and do things for him, then the position of being the parent is better. Because parents, Prabhupada was making the point, parents have to do so much for their children. So much, isn't it? Until they grow up and fly out of the nest. Particularly when the children are small, then the parents have to do everything for the children. And actually, when the children are very small, there's no reciprocation as such from the children, other than looking sweet and smiling and stuff like that. But the children, when they're very small, they don't do anything for the parents at all, but rather the parents just do everything for the children. Gradually, as the children grow up, it changes to some degree. But still, the parents remain in that position of generally doing so much for the children. So this idea, Prabhupada was saying, of being the Son of God is not so good, because it implies that God will be doing so much for you, and you may well not be doing so much for him. Yeah. So there are many relationships. And like we said, every son generally has a wife and children of his own, like that. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pastimes, He has all these different types of relationships. And the deepest relationship is with Radharani, his eternal consort. It's not a material relationship like the boy-girl, man-woman relationships that we see in this world. It's a very profound spiritual relationship. But still, it's between him as the Supreme Person and his consort, Radharani. So, you know, it's a bit of a long story, actually. In fact, it's really quite a long story. But in the pastimes, in Vrindavan, there are all different types of personalities involved in all many different types of ways. And in order to create, like, interest, you could say, or to really just, make things interesting, there are some personalities involved who, in transcendental ways, not material ways, feel opposed to the relationship between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Just for the sake of enhancing the pastimes, actually. So one of them is a lady called Jatila, who is the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, who is married to Abhimanyu, who's an incarnation of Krishna's shadow. Jatila, we say, I'm sure I've mentioned here before, she is like the original mother-in-law. Anyway, in Western society, mothers-in-law or mother-in-laws are rather sort of comical characters. With all due respect to any mothers-in-law who may be here. they're like busybodies, chasing around and henpecking the young husband of their daughter. Jatila is the original one. And she's a real character. So at this time, when this Gopastami came, eighth day of the moon, in the month, the lunar month of Kartik, Jatila had made a big arrangement. So Radharani was kept home in their palace at Yavat. And she could not come out, because if she came out, she might somehow meet Krishna, or Krishna might meet her, and that would be trouble. So Krishna was not able to meet Radharani, and he was very transcendentally, spiritually lamenting in separation on this Gopastami day. And one of his very, very close friends, named Sridham, Subal, one of Krishna's very closest cowherd boy friends, seeing Krishna obviously feeling so much separation from Srimati Radharani, Subal decided, I must help somehow. So he thought up a special strategy by which he could sneak into Yavat. Let us tell you what happened. So he told Krishna, look, just give me an hour or two. Give me just a little time. I'll see what I can do. He didn't say what he was going to try to do. And off he went. So Subal arrived there at Yavat, and sitting at the front gate, and actually in the front gate, was Jatila, the famous or infamous mother-in-law. And she knew who Subal is, of course, because he's just such a close friend of Krishna's. So she saw him coming, and immediately she became suspicious. And she said to him, "What do you want? What are you doing here? What are you up to?" And Subal acted really innocently and said, "You know, one of my calves escaped. And someone told me she came down here. They said they saw her come inside the grounds of your palace. So what I'm going to do, what I want to do, is go in and find the calf." And Jatila didn't really know what to say, but she said, "Oh, all right then, but be quick. Don't get up to any nonsense. No mischief." And Subal said, "Oh, no, of course not." So in he went. And moving around inside there, he came across Srimati Radharani and some of her gopi cowherd girl friends. And they're astonished to see Subal, Krishna's close associate, inside the palace with them. And so they asked him, "What are you doing here?" And then Subal explained his plan of action. See, it is described in the writing, in scripture, in the writings of the Acharyas, Subal looks a little like Radharani. She's a young woman or teenage girl. He's a young boy. But still, some facial resemblance is there. So Subal said, "I have a special strategy that let us exchange clothes. And I will stay in here and just try and keep out of your mother-in-law's way somehow, skillfully. And you go out in my clothes." And Subal explained about the story about the calf. "I told her I'm looking for a calf. So take one of your calves and carry the calf. And go out with your back to Jatila." So they did that. Subal and Radharani changed clothes. And so now Radharani is dressed as a cowherd boy. And she, dressed as a cowherd boy, as Subal, she picked up one of her calves and went walking out and came to the gateway, and there was Jatila sitting in the gateway. And Jatila, of course, didn't know this is now Radharani. She thought, of course, it's Subal, and looks like he caught his calf and he's going. So Jatila said to Radharani, dressed as Subal, "Oh, I see you caught your calf." Radharani had to imitate the voice of Subal and say, "Yes, I found her," sounding like a young boy. She managed to pull it off, and off she went to meet Krishna, dressed as cowherd boy Subal. And for the rest of the day, Subal, dressed as Radharani, had to somehow avoid coming face to face with her. Because even though he looks somewhat like Radharani, but to look really like Radharani, there's no one who looks really like her. So for the whole day, Subal, dressed as Radharani, was going around with her back to Jatila. And Jatila would come around that way, and Radharani Subal would turn that way. And but somehow Jatila never caught on. So anyway, out went Radharani dressed as Subal in cowherd boy clothes. And she came out to where Krishna was. And Krishna was lamenting and saw, here comes Subal, didn't see it was Radharani, and just assumed, oh, well, it's Subal. Too bad. And Krishna said to Subal, oh, I see you didn't manage to get Radharani. And Radharani imitated the voice of Subal and said, no, sorry, tried my best. What can I do? Such a difficult situation. And Krishna said, yeah, I understand. Thanks for trying. And then Radharani decided to test Krishna. To test Krishna. Imitating the voice of Subal, Radharani said that, well, so I couldn't get Radharani, but I think I can go and get Chandravali, who is Radharani's competitor. And, you know, there's a real competition between the two of them. I think I can get Chandravali. Shall I go and get her? Testing Krishna to see how he reacts. But Krishna said, no, no, only Radharani will do. So he passed the test. If he had said, yes, okay, I guess, better go and get her, then he would have failed the test. And I think Radharani would have gone back. And that would have been the end of that. But Krishna passed the test by saying, no, no, only Radharani will do. I don't want any substitutes. So then Radharani revealed she was Radharani. And Radha and Krishna had wonderful pastimes there. Out in the cowherding forests and fields. So this pastime took place on Gopastami. And on that day, in many temples around Vrindavana, I think it's most, certainly all the big temples, Radharani is dressed in Subal Vesh. Vesh means clothes. In the clothes of Subal, dressed as a cowherd boy. And on that day, in all those temples, you can see the lotus feet of Radharani. Because the cowherd boys, they wear sort of like a short dhoti, or maybe even actually shorts, down to their knees like that. So it's a very special day. So, yes, this is one of the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. One time, 500 years ago, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote a poem about Srimati Radharani. It is called Chatu Pushpanjali, four offerings of flowers. Chatu Pushpanjali. So it's a collection of verses glorifying, basically, describing and glorifying Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami wrote this poem, and before he sort of distributed it amongst the devotees, he thought best to let my older brother and senior devotee, Sanatan Goswami, better to let him check it and see if there are any adjustments that should be made, or, you know, any corrections like that. So Rupa Goswami at that time was living in the current day Vrindavan town. Sanatan Goswami was out at Radhakund. Well, actually, more or less in between Radhakund and Shyamakund, pretty much on the banks of Shyamakund, near the where they meet. So Rupa Goswami arrived there, and there's Sanatan Goswami. Hare Krishna, Suswagatam. So Rupa Goswami arrived there, and there was Sanatan Goswami, and Rupa Goswami approached him and said, "Here, look, see this? I've written a poem about Radharani. Please read it and check it, and tell me if it's all right, or if anything needs to be corrected, or like that." And Sanatan Goswami, of course, he is the senior by age, but he's a very humble devotee. So Sanatan Goswami was thinking that, you want me to correct this? I'm not going to, how can I correct what you've written? You're such a great devotee. So, but he didn't say anything. He said, okay, let me just, I'll read it. He started reading Chatu Pushpanjali poem. So he's reading, and at the end of the first verse, he saw a very extraordinary thing. Rupa Goswami said that Srimati Radharani has long black hair, which she ties in a single plait, which hangs down, right down her back, like down to her waist or even a little further. The single plait down the back. And when Radharani moves, when she walks, that plait moves. And when her hair moves, it looks like a black snake. And Sanatan Goswami saw this and thought, what? Black snake? Radharani? See, her hair looks like a black snake. And he thought, that's not nice. That's not nice at all. Black snake. Snakes are horrible. How could he say that about Radharani? That's terrible. And then he got into sort of like a quandary, what to do. You know, it sounds terrible. It seems to sound terrible. But he is Rupa Goswami, and whatever he says is just perfect. But how could he say this? So he became bewildered. He didn't know what to do. And then Rupa Goswami approached him again and said, have you finished reading the poem? Because he's waiting there, waiting for Sanatana Goswami to finish. Have you finished yet? And Sanatana Goswami said, not quite. Just hang on. And he was really feeling a bit disturbed. He went outside and he was sitting on the banks of Shamakund, looking at this poem, Black Snake, and just thinking, how could he say that? But it's Rupa Goswami. But why did he say that? Very perplexed. So he was sitting there, looking at the poem, praying, looking at the sacred kunds. And then on the other side, he saw a group of young village girls suddenly just appeared on the banks of Shamakund on the other side. It's called Govindaghat, that area of Shamakund. And they started playing a ball game, throwing a ball back and forward and jumping and catching and laughing and shouting, and it's all going on. And Sanatana Goswami is watching this, but he's still internally, he's perplexed. Suddenly, as he was watching this one girl who had her back turned, this one girl who looked like Radha. See? He's looking at this girl who looks like Radha. But this girl had her back turned to Sanatana Goswami. So he's looking at this one girl, and suddenly he saw a black snake started climbing up her back. It was going to bite her on the neck. And Sanatana Goswami panicked. He jumped up and he shouted, "Snake! Snake! Look out! Watch out!" And the girls were shocked. "Snake? Where?" On her back!" And they looked on the back of that girl, and suddenly they started roaring with laughter and pointing at Sanatana Goswami. "What are you talking about, you silly?" And they said, "That's not a snake. That's her hair." And Sanatana Goswami was just completely astonished. And suddenly, in front of his eyes, that whole group of girls vanished. Just demanifested. Not like they went running away quickly. Just suddenly they were not there. And Sanatana Goswami was completely amazed. And he understood that was Radha. That was Radharani and the gopis. And they appeared and did like this just to show me that whatever Rupa Goswami says is right. That Radharani's hair does look like a black snake when she moves. So he was just feeling shook. You know, like these different emotions overwhelming him. And then Rupa Goswami came again and said, "Please tell me what you think of the poem. I really want to know. You must tell me. Please tell me now." And Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, it's a wonderful poem. I really like this poem. And particularly the part about how her hair looks like a black snake. Wow, I really like that part. It's the best." So Rupa Goswami was pleased. And the poem is available today to all of us. Yes, it's still existing. One time, well, Sanatana Goswami, he was living by Shyamakund, Radhakund, but sometimes he'd go and stay at Nandagram, Pavan Sarovar. How many of you were at Pavan Sarovar before? Two, three. You were not there. No? Why not? Okay. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami was living right, very close, like 10 meters away from the lake. Pavan Sarovar means the lake which purifies and delivers from sinful reaction and like that. And at the same time, Rupa Goswami, this is Sanatana Goswami, who was living by Pavan Sarovar, at the bottom of the base of the hill at Nandagram. At the same time, Rupa Goswami was staying at Tir Kadamba, which is also near, not far from Nandagram. It's maybe 1 or 2, 1.5 or 2 kilometers, sort of somewhat on the other side of Nandagram, of that hill. So Rupa Goswami was living out there at Tir Kadamba, and Sanatana Goswami's birthday came. And Rupa Goswami knew. He wasn't one of these people who forgets other people's birthdays. Did you ever meet anyone like that? No, he remembered. So on the day, and he's like, say, 5 kilometers away, kind of somewhat around on the other side and a little out from the hill. And he understood, it's Sanatana Goswami's birthday. I must give him something. I must serve him, offer him something. I have to do something. What am I going to do? But then, you know, he's out there in the middle of the forest, and it's just, you know, there was no pick and pay. Not even a Checkers or a ShopRite. There's just nothing out in the forest. So Rupa Goswami was thinking and wishing and lamenting, I would like to cook him something nice and give it to him as a present on his birthday. So he's sitting there desiring, but then lamenting, but I can't do it. And then he thought, I know what I'd like to do. I want to make some sweet rice, some really first class sweet rice. No Aunt Caroline's rice, just the good rice, the real rice. But how can I do it? I'm in the forest here. But he was desiring, and suddenly a young girl appeared out of the forest, just like Radha, or Trinity. With this big bowl, you know, it's like 5 liters or something fairly substantial, and just walked up to Rupa Goswami and said, here, take this, whack. Okay? And he looked in. It was sweet rice. Wow, that's amazing. And Rupa Goswami said, where did this come from? And the girl said, oh, there was a wedding in the village. This was left over. And the elders told me, just go out into the forest, find some devotee out there, and just give it to him. So there you are, take it, it's yours. So he's looking at this sweet rice and just mesmerized. How did this happen? And he looked up to thank the girl, and guess what? She had vanished. And he couldn't understand, you know, what, how are these things going on and what happened to her? But then he thought, okay, anyway, I guess it's Krishna's arrangement. Let me walk around to the other side by Pavan Sarovar, around the hill, and offer it to Sanatana Goswami. So he did. He walked up there, and he said to Sanatana Goswami, here, happy birthday. And Sanatana Goswami looked at him and said, where on earth did you get that? And as he asked, he took a mouthful. As he took a mouthful, he became like stunned. Where did you get this? And Sanatana Goswami said, well, there was this young girl. And she came. And she said there'd been a wedding in the village and this was left over. And so, you know, so here it is. How is it? And Sanatana Goswami took another mouthful and said, I've never tasted sweet rice like this. I have tasted the sweet rice of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. I have tasted the sweet rice of Radha Govinda. I have even tasted the sweet rice which was the remnants of Lord Chaitanya himself. But I never tasted sweet rice like this. Then he said, there was no wedding in the village. You know, you're out in the forest. I'm right here on the edge of the village. There was no wedding. That was Srimati Radharani. And now you've given this to me. It's like I'm accepting service from Srimati Radharani. That's terrible. What an offender I am. I should be serving her, but she's serving me by giving me the sweet rice. It's wrong. It's bad. It's terrible. How can I do that? Then he sat silently and he said, give me some more sweet rice. So the two of them shared this great amount of sweet rice. And as they're just taking more and more, and the power, the transcendental power of that amazing prasadam was just flooding into their hearts. Tears of ecstasy were dripping from their eyes into the sweet rice. So this is famous pastime at Nandagram between Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Srimati Radharani. Now, there's a lot more we want to say, but I don't have time right now. So you will have to come tomorrow evening, okay? We will continue. We're not even halfway there. We're not even a quarter. We will continue tomorrow. Is that okay? Srimati Radharani ki.
Jai.
Sri Radhastami Mahotsava ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande.
Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.